fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. Can you picture that scene? Can you hear the cups of all these instruments of gold and silver, brass, iron, wood? Can you just picture the scene? Can you hear the clink, the clatter, the noise, the sound, the laughter, the glee, the fun, the excitement, the lady falling in the man's arm? They're all getting a little drunk now, you know, and oh, they're just having a big time, ha 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 ha, ooh, you know, and they're abusing things here and going on with their big party, and all of a sudden, words appear on a wall and a part of a man's hand appears in that room. I don't know. It says here, the king saw the writing. But I just wonder if a lot of people didn't see it. And some woman didn't scream out. And the place became totally silent. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed. And his thoughts troubled him. So that the joints of his loins were loosed. Isn't that what the prophet said would happen? Loose the loins of kings. We just read it. So that the joints of his loins were loosed and his knees smote one against another. Literally, his knees knocked. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then came in all the king's wise men. But they could not read the writing, because God frustrates the tokens of the liars and maketh diviners mad, turneth wise men backward, and maketh their knowledge foolish. But they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There's an old Pentecostal church down there on 9th Ave. They'll pray for us. They know God down there. You know what I'm talking about when I apply it that way tonight? People want to live in sin. They want to have their fun. Brother, when they're in trouble, call the church. There's a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father or grandfather, light and understanding and wisdom like the wisdom of the gods was found in him. Whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, Art thou that Daniel which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing. Why? Because God frustrates the tokens of the liars and makes diviners mad, turns wise men backward, and makes their knowledge foolish. That's what he said. Hallelujah, I like that. And I have heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, O king, I know more than what you just said. I know what's going to happen to you this night. Let thy gifts be to thyself. And I'm saying, saints, do you know what's going to happen to this world? Have you read the prophecies? Have you read the book? Do you know where it's all going to end? Daniel didn't have to be third ruler in that kingdom. He had a higher position waiting him. You don't have to be anything in this world. Saints, we have a higher position waiting for us. We're going to rule and reign with him if we supper with him now. Let thy gifts be to thyself and give thy rewards to another. I'll read the writing unto the king anyway. I'll make known to you the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. Oh, what a sermon is coming now. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him, and he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart. Give me back that purple robe. Give me back that golden chain. Give me back that promise of third ruler in my kingdom. I don't know what went through the king's head when Daniel said this to him. Thou hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold and of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written, and this is the writing that was written, meaning, tickle you, Farson. This is the interpretation of the thing, meaning, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tickle. Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him, that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. The kingdoms of this world are coming to an end. Don't seek a position here. Daniel didn't. We have a higher position awaiting us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now what does that mean? And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old, when it seems like Cyrus did all the work. Well, the Medes and the Persians were confederates. Darius was king of Media. Cyrus was king of Persia. Darius was the uncle of Cyrus. Cyrus, the nephew, gave his uncle, Darius, that particular kingdom. That's what I read. Well, the battle was over. Now we have a bunch of slaves to deal with. Slaves to kings meant money, fame, prestige. What would Cyrus do with all these slaves at his disposal? Well, let's read Ezra. Chapter 1 again. Verse 3. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem and build a house and so on. Praise the Lord. There we have it again. Now, the city and the temple must be built. God prophesied it. God arranged for it. God made it happen. And he used a heathen king to write the decree, to make the proclamation. There must be a Jerusalem and there must be a temple. And if you want to turn with me, or if you just want to listen, it's up to you. Luke chapter 13. Why must there be a Jerusalem? Why must there be a temple built? Now I leave everything else and turn to my own thoughts for a few minutes in closing here. Luke chapter 31. I thought this myself. Why must there be a Jerusalem? Why must there be a temple? Luke 13. The same day, 31, verse 31. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto Jesus, Get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, Go ye and tell that fox, Behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. And I'm a prophet. I'm going to die at Jerusalem. There must be a Jerusalem, because I must die at Jerusalem. Turn to Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 47. Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. The gospel must begin at Jerusalem. The gospel must go out from Jerusalem. Didn't Paul write to the Corinthians and say, What? Came the gospel out from you? Or came it unto you only? No. The gospel must go out of Jerusalem. There must be a rebuilt Jerusalem. Verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. The Holy Ghost must first fall in Jerusalem. There must be a temple. Go back to Luke chapter 2. Verse 21. Luke 2, 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses was accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus into the temple, he came in the Spirit into the temple. They brought Jesus into the temple. There must be a temple for Jesus to fulfill the law in. Jesus must be presented in the temple. So that destroyed temple, that temple that Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed, had to be rebuilt. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And that's another great subject. Read Malachi 3:1. Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Praise the Lord. There must be a temple because Jesus must suddenly come to his temple. Personally, I believe that refers to his appearance in the temple when he came in suddenly and made a whip of small cords and cleansed the temple. Now turn to Matthew chapter 27. There must be a Jerusalem because Jesus must die at Jerusalem. There must be a Jerusalem because the gospel must go out from Jerusalem. There must be a Jerusalem because the Holy Ghost must first fall in Jerusalem. There must be a temple because Jesus must be presented in the temple. And there must be a temple because Jesus must suddenly come to his temple to fulfill the scripture. And there must be a temple because Matthew 27, verse 50 says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and so on. There had to be a temple for there to be a veil separating the holiest from the holy place. That veil had to be torn in two to fulfill all the types in the Old Testament about Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now, all the things that we've talked about tonight regarding King Cyrus had to do with the coming of Christ into the world. Boy, that's a lot of history focusing on one man, isn't it? In fact, all history focuses on him. You better believe it. Oh, praise the Lord. He is the desire of all nations. Haggai. Haggai. Where is that? Haggai, just before Zechariah. Haggai. Oh, listen to this. In fact, we ought to read this in closing tonight. Haggai chapter 2. In the seventh month, in the 1 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Josedek the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do ye see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing?" In other words, the first temple was far more magnificent than the second temple. "Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations." All history focuses on him. "And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this second temple, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts." You know why I think the glory of the second temple was greater than the glory of the first, or the glory of the latter was glory greater than the glory of the former? Because Jesus entered that temple. That's what made it more glorious in my mind. There are those that will disagree with what I'm saying. But listen, when Jesus was here, you know what he said? He stood there and he said, "One greater than the temple is here." I think that takes in all temples. First, former, last. Amen. A greater than the temple is here. A greater than Solomon is here. A greater than Jonas is here. All history focuses on him, on that one man. He is the desire of all nations. Listen to verse 4 of the song, "Joy to the World." "He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love." Listen to verse 4 of "Hark, the herald angels sing." And when Christmas comes again, saints of God, read those words, study them. They're fantastic. "Come, desire of nations, come. Fix in us thy humble home. Rise, the woman's conquering seed. Bruise in us the serpent's head. Adam's likeness now efface. Stamp thine image in its place. Second Adam from above, reinstate us in thy love. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn king." Let's stand. All history focuses on him. He is the desire of all nations. All history serves him. All nations serve him. All nations serve his purposes. He sets up, he sets down, he puts in positions, he puts out of positions. And one king had to learn, at least one king had to learn, that he's the one that does it. He's in control tonight. And that's why we're not suffering with heart trouble. People's hearts are failing them for fear after looking at the things that are coming on the earth. But because we know who's in control, we see the signs being fulfilled all around us, and we look up.
because our redemption draws nigh. And while everybody else is having heart failure, we're smiling. His redemption.
Our redemption draws nigh. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What does that have to do with the second coming? What does that have to do with our lesson tonight? Gabriel said to Daniel, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people.
God determined that all this would take place because he determined
that 70 weeks were determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city.
It would have to be rebuilt. The temple would have to be rebuilt. There would have to be a Calvary, a cross,
and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. And everything we read about tonight, about the nations of the world, about Babel, about Cyrus, about Persia, about all these kings, but all this bloodshed, all this trouble, everything is to arrange for this. The greatest event of all history.
Praise
the
God.
Event that the whole Testament looks forward to and the whole New Testament looks backward to. Everything we talked about tonight had to do with that one thing. Oh, how important he is.
Praise God.
Oh, how I love him.
Thank you,
Let's
Jesus.
Just love him in closing.
Thank you, Lord God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. 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 Messiah of all nations. Lord of glory. King of kings. Oh, I love you. Lord, I worship you, Lord, my God, my Savior, my all in all, Lord Jesus, King of kings, Lord of all.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. When the fullness of the time was come, a certain time, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth.
Praise God.
Abraham to redeem. He's our redeemer.
Praise the Lord.
Don't you love him?
Yes.
Think of all the planning, all the patience, all the preparation that preceded the coming of Jesus, all focused on everything. He is the desire of all nations. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.